be together, be married for the right reasons. The foundation of marriage has to be sound and right in the first place. And that's very important. I mean, just don't be with somebody because you got pressured to. Let me tell you, there's a lot of brothers who have been pressured to marry their relatives so that the relative could get a green card. And you, as a Muslim man, need to know your rights. You can never be forced into this, ever. And if she says, "Uqsimu billahi, I'm not pleased with you on the day of judgment," it's batil. Not every "Uqsim billah, I'm not pleased with you" is valid, right? Okay, is it possible to say, "I'm not pleased with you on the day of judgment" if you don't go steal? Of course not, right? If you pray, "I'm not pleased with you on the day of judgment"? Of course not, right? So not every phrase, "I'm not pleased with you," is valid. It's invalid. Oh, be careful, the dua of the mom. Well, oh Allah, throw fire and brimstone on his head. He's not doing what I said. It's invalid dua. Peer pressure is scary. Imagine family pressure. The mom's pressuring you. Her being upset is a problem by itself. You're going to be upset. If you're connected to your mom and your mom's upset, you're going to be upset. But that doesn't mean those threats have any validity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have no validity with Allah. Okay? They have no meaning. They're kalmadum, essentially. Right? It's as if it's nothing. So you don't have to worry about that. So being pressured to marry someone is one of these, you're setting yourself up for disaster. It's the number one probably source of disaster. Here's another one. He's so nice, but something inside the woman just doesn't want to marry him, right? She just doesn't feel like she wants to marry him. But she sort of feels bad for rejecting him. Sister, this is not his right. You feel bad? Yes, you can feel bad about it, but it's not his haq. So when you feel bad about it, that means reject in a nice way. Like, you can say a lot of nice things, have your dad do it. Say, "Well, Allah, you're a great guy. It's just there's no nasib here," right? There's no, it's not going to work out. Nobody owes anyone marriage. This family has done so much for us. He's done so much. And now the son has come to propose, right? They have helped us out in our life so much in different ways. We can never repay them. Now the son is coming to propose to our daughter for marriage. The daughter's like, "We love that family, yeah, but I'm not want to marry him." You cannot pressure her to do that, to return a favor. It's not how it works. This is a great piece of advice. Marry for the right reason. Don't marry because of some pressure or some family, you know, business between the two. Let alone for papers. I mean, that's probably not only illegal, but it actually is illegal. But of course, they don't know your intention. But they do come check every few years to make sure you're legitimate. You know, by the way, they have a hack now. The government, because they know people marry for papers all the time. They have a hack now where they'll come back and they'll rescind your papers if they discover it was a fake. So first of all, they investigate you in the first place to see if you're actually married. Then they make it a long process because you got to stay married. Then if you pass that and you stay married, the last I heard, if they come back after years and they check on you, if it turns out that you did fool them, they rescind the papers. That's what I heard. Someone in the law can address that. We're launching Starboard today. As you see, this gorgeous website, StarboardMarriage.com is up. Omar, can you stick it in the chat? StarboardMarriage.com is being soft launched today. We are now capable of taking mentees. They are mentors and mentees. It's a mentor-mentee relationship. A lot of people need this program, says Lakes. They're out here traumatizing people left, right, and center. Okay, people being traumatized. People don't know how to be married. People don't know their head from their toes, and they go get married, and then they wonder three months later, why they come back crying in the masjid. Wait, what? Why are you coming crying to me when you never studied this matter? Okay. So here's a guy who testifies, and he says that, I got married. My family encouraged me to marry. I felt like I wanted to wait a little bit. They kept pushing me. So I got married and I was miserable. I thought that time would fix things, but I was wrong. I myself was not ready to be married. Okay? So we got divorced. Now someone gets hurt because of that. No, because you got pressure from friends. Or here's this. Sometimes your aunts and uncles, you genuinely can't find the right person, but your aunts and uncles, your aunties, mostly the aunts and the women in the family, they push it so hard because time's passing. So that family pressure, time's passing, and I just have to marry someone quick because it just doesn't look right. Doesn't now, how could you be entering 30, 31, 32, 35, 37, 38, 40 and not married? What's wrong? Right? Now, it's very, I have to be very careful when I talk like this because many people do have valid reasons. Right? So be mindful that these generalizations are just, there is exceptions to the rule so that no one's feeling gets hurt. Sometimes they marry because you just cannot say no to this family. That's another reason people get married. This family, they're so well off. They're so well liked. They got so many popular people in the family. You just can't say no to this family. That's wrong. Person, and I know a guy who married for that reason. Luckily, he stayed married. But the main reason he married was because he admired the brother so much. But the brother and the sister are two different creatures, right? They're totally different people, right? You don't marry to have a brother-in-law. You're not marrying for a brother-in-law. You're not marrying for a sister-in-law. You're marrying for the person. And the opposite's true, too. The opposite's true, too. Right? You marry for the person who may have come from a terrible family. The Pride and Prejudice is all about. Right? You read that book?
Yeah. It's one of my favorites, actually.
It's one of your favorite books, right? The mom, she's loud. She's terrible. She has no tact. She's an embarrassment wherever she goes. One of the daughters or two of the daughters are a complete embarrassment wherever they go. But two of the daughters are perfect, right? They're tactful, they're tasteful, they're polite. Okay? Everything's perfect. So some people stay away from that family just because of two members. That's false too, right? That's terrible. So it's bad for them because the people want to stay away from them. But it's not a reason to stay away from somebody. You may have, in fact, sometimes the thorniest bush produces the best rose. You like that analogy, right? So because they've seen what a bad person looks like. They've seen what a misbehaving girl looks like. So by contrast, they actually become the best. Sometimes you find that in families. Why do you find two polar opposites? Because, well, for some reason, one went one way. And the next kid along says, oh, that's a bad result. Let me go the opposite way. So sometimes the idea of the black sheep in the family is a wisdom. I saw off one family, the oldest person, he was a miserable guy, right? Every decision he made was bad, like really bad. But what did that do? It was a blessing in disguise. Because all the siblings, the younger siblings were like, whoa, that's a bad decision. That's a bad decision. I ain't doing that. The dad could have probably given speeches to them ad nauseum. It wouldn't have the same effect as seeing your brother go down that path. Sometimes it's a girl who goes down the bad path. But we all see it and we say, oh, I don't want that. So sometimes people will stay away from a family, whereas in fact, no, there's a treasure in that family. It's actually because of the presence of that bad person, she became good or he became good.